You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
From the field to the film room to the war room, we've got you covered every step of the way as the road to the draft starts right now on BGN Radio. Hello and welcome to another episode of the BGN Draft Show. I am your host, Shane Half. You can follow me on Twitter and YouTube at Shane Half NFL. I'm joined today by my co-host and fellow draft enthusiast, Dives. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mr. Crockpot. Be sure to check out his podcast, Party on Broad, and all the videos he's putting out on the BGN YouTube page about the draft. Dives, how are you doing today?
Dude, it is officially Senior Bowl week, Tuesday, January 30th, man. Practice number one, day number one is in the books, man. Couldn't be better, man. Let's do this.
Absolutely. And we are going to be doing a Senior Bowl winners and losers next week on the podcast. We're going to take a brief break from our positional rankings. We will recap all things Senior Bowl next week. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm also joined by my co-host on Chalk Talk, Mark Henry Jr. Give him a follow on Twitter at Mark Henry Jr. _. Be sure to check out his Tough Cover radio show every Saturday. Mark, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. You know, it feels like I'm fully focused on the draft at this point. So, you know, especially we have this week off with no football at all. It's the first weekend without football since before the season. So all the more reason to you know, crunch some tape, especially when we're talking interior defensive linemen. If that doesn't get you going, I don't know what does, especially if you're an Eagles fan over the last couple of years, obviously.
Yeah. So spoiler alert, how we structure the positional rankings here. We tried to go with some of the positions that are a little less likely early on. It gives us more time to get more data, get more Senior Bowl things. But, you know, that's why we started with quarterback on the defensive line, but you can never discount the Eagles taking an interior defensive lineman in the first round of the draft for the third year in a row. So we'll talk about some of these guys and we'll see where we fall out. So we're going to do our top five. We'll give some honorable mentions. We are a little more diverse than we were with the quarterbacks in terms of who we have, although our top two are universally the same. So Dives, I'm going to throw it to you first here. Who is number one in your interior defensive lineman rankings?
Absolutely. It's Johnny Newton out of Illinois, man. He kind of came into this season as a bona fide first round pick. He ended 2023 as a top 10, top 15 selection. He's currently number 14 on my big board. This guy is ridiculously strong and stout at the point of attack against the run. He has no issues getting off blocks as a pass rusher. He's got a nice pass rush skills repertoire to get to the quarterback. He's got really good bend for a defensive tackle. He's got an explosive first step. I feel like every time I watch this guy, and Mark and I watch college football every single week, he was on a difficult team there in Illinois, but it didn't matter. Double team, triple teams, he was still, you know, putting up sacks every single week. And I think this guy is a defensive line coach's dream with his hot motor and relentless pursuit and his ability to cause havoc, pressure the quarterback in that backfield. Negative wise, he doesn't have great size. That's obviously the standout. And definitely keep an eye on him during the upcoming scouting combine. He might have shortish arms. That shortish stature could lead to him struggling to hold his ground against double teams at the NFL level. But overall, man, this guy is an upfield defensive lineman. I see this guy as a pass rush weapon in a 4-3 defense at the next level. I think scheme will be important for this guy, but again, he's number 14 on my big board. I would be shocked if he goes past the top 20 picks in this draft. He's a clear number one pick or number one defensive tackle at this position for me.
I think there's a bit of, like, for, you know, recent comp, there's a bit of Clyde Jakansi in him.
Yeah.
Just the undersized, good pass rusher. And I think he's a better run defender than Kansi was. Like, he's strong at the point of attack. And I think against single blocks, he does a good job of standing those up and, you know, doing the stack and shed. He can make plays in his gap. But you mentioned it, like, the double teams are an issue. And I think it's probably due to his arm length. He's not able to keep those guys locked out. But he's a really good pass rusher. He has a lot of tools in the tool chest as a pass rusher. He can win with power, speed, technique. He's got a nice cross chop move. He's got a good swim move. So as I watch him a little bit, I am reminded of shades of Kalijah Jakansi from a year ago, who I had a first round grade on. I also have a first round grade on Newton here. I think you mentioned it. I think he could play in, like, an odd front as a 4-eye or a 5 technique, but his bread and butter, like, his best fit's going to be in an even front, a 4-3 type team, where he can play 3 technique and just penetrate upfield in that Fletcher Cox role for some team running an even front. So I think that's where you want him to be.
How big for you guys is the gap between 1 and 2 here on your rankings?
I will look at this right now. I have Johnny Newton number 14, and then I have Byron Murphy number 28. Spoiler warning.
Yeah, I have Newton. I don't have him stacked yet in that way, but I have a first. I have a first on him and a fringe first on Murphy. So,
okay, yeah, I was curious because I think going into the process, and I don't know if this is a segue into number 2 for Dives, but going into the process, I think I thought that the gap was a little bigger than I now think it is. I thought, you know, when we were first kicking it around, we obviously all ended up having Newton at number 1, and I still have Newton at number 1. But I was, you know, going through it and watching some of the next guy's stuff. I don't think that there's a huge gap. And if someone out there had our number 2 guy at number 1, I wouldn't think it was that crazy anymore.
All right. Well, that does kind of lead us into it. We've said his name, but number 2 on the board for all of us is Byron Murphy, the second. It's not junior. I keep wanting to say junior. Byron Murphy, the second out of Texas. Dives, I'll throw it to you here first for him again. Tell us what you like about Byron Murphy.
Yeah, man. One of the most physical and strongest prospects in the entire draft. That's how big this guy is. He was named Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year. First team all Big 12. According to PFF, 45 pressures, 6 sacks across 273 pass rush snaps last year. Among 219 FBS defensive tackles to play at least 400 snaps last year, he had the second best overall PFF grade, 20th best run defensive grade, and best pass rushing grade. There have been people that have gone up against Byron Murphy and said, that guy is strong as hell, man. He beats people up. But you talk about strengths, excellent explosiveness off the line, relentless motor, consistently causes havoc in opposing backfields, really good agility. I think his bread and butter is rushing the passer. He has natural leverage and balance, and he takes on double teams really well, despite only being, what, like 6'1", because of that play strength, because of his hands and how strong they are. And then you get to, like, weaknesses. Obviously, just like Johnny Newton, doesn't have ideal height, doesn't have ideal arm length, has limited snap volume. There's a guy that's played has been in a rotation at Texas quite a bit, doesn't have a lot of bend. And he needs to improve his pass rush repertoire at the next level. But, like, this guy's ceiling is a pass rushing 3 technique. I think he's got a ridiculously high floor to be a situational pass rusher who possibly comes off during running downs. There's a lot to like about Byron Murphy. He has the upside, absolutely, to be a three-down player. His anchor is going to be tested at the next level, but he's also a versatile defensive lineman that can play anywhere across the line, which is definitely where the modern NFL is kind of moving towards anyway. I, like Mark said, I used to have a day two grade on Byron Murphy, but like the more I kind of like watched him play, and the more you read about him and learn about him, like he definitely carries first round buzz. And I would be shocked if he goes before Johnny Newton, but absolutely day one grade.
All right, Mark, you indicated that the gap between these guys is pretty small for you. You want to talk about Murphy a little bit? What makes him so close to Newton for you?
Kind of just how he grades out. He had a 91.5 pass rush grade per PFF, a 20.1% pass rush win rate, which was the best among interior defensive linemen. And even, you know, I think that there is a narrative that he's pretty much just a pass rushing D tackle and maybe not going to be a guy who is a big cog in the run game. Didn't grade out poorly in that either, though. 80.5 run D grade, 9.5% run stop rate, which isn't great, but it's not bad either. And he also combined that with sack production, with hurries this year in 2023 in a bit of a breakout season. It feels to me like he kind of has everything you want besides the height. Obviously, like in terms of grading out well, stopping the run, grading out incredibly well, you know, in terms of pass rushing, having sack production, having hurries, you know, it feels like he also was a part of an extremely, you know, successful unit at Texas. The defensive line was probably their best unit among anything out there at Texas this year on a team that made the college football playoff. But Byron Murphy's a guy who I definitely, this is less of a, I think when you watch Newton on tape compared to Murphy on tape, Newton jumps out a little bit more. The athleticism kind of jumps off the page a little bit more with Newton. With Murphy, it's kind of the stuff in terms of how he's graded out and those win rate numbers that make you think, yeah, like, wow, is this guy, am I not capturing how good this guy is with my eyes because of how well he's grading out?
Yeah.
We've talked around him as a run defender. I think he's got a really explosive first step, and I think that helps him as a run defender because his go-to, like, he tries to knife into a gap to disrupt run plays in the backfield. It's less so like just shedding your guy to just trying to beat him into the gap. And I do think he plays with really good leverage when he's not able to do that, and he can sort of create or generate horizontal displacement in the running game when he can't penetrate that gap. But kind of like we talked about with Newton, the short arms, the short stature, those tools don't help you out when you're having to take on double teams. So whereas I do think Newton could kick out to like a 4-eye or 5 technique in an odd front, I really don't think that's the case with Byron Murphy. I think he's pretty exclusively a 3 technique in an even front. Like I said, I've kind of got a fresh first round grade on him right now, and those may adjust over time. So by the time we circle back to our final big board show and stuff, it'll be interesting to see how I moved on some of these guys. But right now, I wouldn't blink at taking him at the end of the first round. Not for the Eagles, obviously, but in general. So, okay, so that gets us through our top two guys here. Number one, we're universally Johnny Newton. Number two, Byron Murphy. At number three is where it starts to get a little interesting. So we've got some different guys coming onto the board here. So Mark, I'm going to throw it to you first here. Who is the number three guy on your board?
For me, at number three, I'm staying at the same school as our number two, which is pretty crazy to have two of the top three interior defensive linemen on my board from the same school. But I have Tavondre Sweat at number three. This dude's just a mountain of a man. I mean, he's 6'4", 362, and that's alleged. Today at the Senior Bowl, he did not weigh in, which, you know, that's going to add some intrigue to him at the combine a little bit. And apparently he did look really big. People speculated that he was bigger than that 6'4", 362, and that's maybe why he didn't want to weigh in. But then there was also reports that he looked pretty good. So maybe this is just the type of guy who can carry that weight on his frame. And it's not like he's 6'1" weighing this. He is 6'4". So this is just a huge human being. In 2023, he had 2 sacks with 26 hurries, 1 sack and 20 hurries in 2022 and 2021 combined. Over the last 3 years, his PFF grades 91.7 after 79.5 and 71.8. So you would say that his 2023 was definitely a breakout in terms of production and also in terms of how he graded out. Something that you guys know I love when we talk about defensive linemen is batted balls down at the line of scrimmage. It's something that I always go nuts for, and this guy does it in spades. 6 batted balls in 2023, 5 in 2022, 3 in 2021. That's a pretty absurd amount for an interior defensive lineman. And also, you look at the 92 grade that he had in terms of the run D, 12.8% run stop rate, an 85.3 pass rush grade, 15.3% pass rush win rate. The sack production hasn't necessarily matched any of those numbers and how good it looks like he should be. And even when you watch tape, he gets in your face and it just feels like he's not finishing those plays. Maybe that's something he needs to work on. Maybe that's a conditioning thing. I don't quite know, but he's creating havoc. He's just not finishing havoc quite often enough. But to me, I'm willing to take a chance on a guy like this. He's an absolute freak. You don't get many options like this. Like most of the guys we're going to talk about, or at least are on my list, are relatively undersized for the defensive tackle position, whereas this guy's like the super size me edition of the defensive tackle position.
Yeah, 100th percentile. Wait, reportedly, you know, we'll see.
He might be the 110th percentile. We don't know.
we're pushing the boundaries here. But yeah, he also, I don't think he said this. He won the Outland Trophy, which goes to the best interior lineman, whether it be offensive or defensive. So, really intriguing prospect. I had him as number 5. I know he graded out well as a pass rusher. He was PFF's ninth highest graded interior defensive line pass rusher. I still have questions about that. Like, I have questions about his ability to consistently play high snap counts in the NFL because he seemed to run out of steam at times. He doesn't really have a go-to pass rush move. He just kind of tries to push the pocket. And I honestly don't really understand why he's graded so highly as a pass rusher by PFF. And he's a guy that I will dig more into, because if he could check the pass rusher box more for me, I could move him up. But right now I just kind of see him as a nose tackle. That's a really good run defender and he's a solid player. And he does have a good, you know, he's got a good first step, but I just don't see the pass rush plan. And, you know, Jordan Davis obviously went in the first round a couple of years ago to the Eagles. And I was high on him. He was 7th on my big board, but I just don't know that there's that same athletic profile. Like Jordan Davis was generational athleticism as well. So it, you know, if Sweat tests that way, then maybe I would pull him up higher. But for now, that's my concern with him, is what I watch doesn't really mesh with what like PFF graded in terms of pass rushing. And that's my biggest concern. Dives, where are you at with Sweat?
I like him a lot. It's interesting you brought up the name Jordan Davis, because the biggest knock on Tavondre Sweat is inconsistency. And you look at Jordan Davis this year, I mean, he just fell off a cliff. Obviously, there's a lot of reasons for that. There are times when Tavondre Sweat looked like the best player on the football field for Texas this year. He was dominant. And then there are times like you forgot he was in the game. So obviously he needs to improve his consistency in a big way. Obviously you have the weight management. He needs to keep an eye on that, keep an optimal weight moving forward. But I like the way he plays, man. He's mean. He's violent. He's physical. He can collapse a pocket. You on tape, you see him like chase down screens and make tackles. Like, there's a lot to like about Tavondre Sweat, but that 3-down potential at the next level is a big question. So kind of circling back to Jordan Davis, I fully agree, Shane. I don't think he's nearly the athlete of Jordan Davis, because I remember him in the combine. Like, he was blowing things up. I think he already ran like a 5.05 40-yard dash. But Tavondre Sweat, day two, great value.
Yeah, I think the difference is Jalen Carter was being talked about as a top 10 pick, whereas this guy's kind of a guy you'll invest probably a late second, early third in. So I don't think him being a rotational defensive lineman is as much of a death sentence as it felt like taking a guy in the top 10 who maybe will never be a pass rusher. Also, I don't think Jordan Davis ever had 26 hurries in a season. Whereas Tavondre Sweat did have 26 hurries this year, 46 hurries over his time there. And I do think a lot of that, Shane is right. I don't think he's got a refined set of moves. I think a lot of that is just him shoving guys down and trampling over them to get into the pocket. And I think that happened a lot.
Yeah, that's a question I had to answer for myself, as I was like, why do I have this guy so much lower than I had Davis? Because I've got him as like a second, third, day two guy. And I think that's just kind of what I came to eventually, was maybe a little bit of improving, learning something from that evaluation, and a little bit of, you know, it was just, it was also the athleticism that I don't think Sweat has quite as much of, but maybe he does. We'll see.
I think part of what I always kind of got upset with the Jordan Davis thing is, I don't know how much of that athleticism mattered or was like functional. Like, does it matter if Jordan Davis can jump far or can run for long stretches of time when he's never going to be asked to do that? Like, I mean, the one play against Josh Allen on the sideline.
It ended his season. He was done. People he never love showed that up again after that.
Yeah. People love that play so much. If you go back and watch it, there's a guy like, who I think Josh Allen would have got like three more yards. Like, there's a guy like coming over. It's a linebacker, like, and it's going.
You smart? Anyway. Have you like, seen the people Eagles love that linebackers try Davis to tackle Josh Allen?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah.
Josh Allen might have like gotten like 70 more thing, yards, but... and the crazy thing is they were only 20 yards from the end zone.
Yeah.
That was the first play that popped.
I knew as soon as you held your finger up that you and I were thinking the same thing, Dives. But yeah, you're right. And that's a good point. It's always interesting to kind of tie these evals back into, you know, previous evals, especially guys that the Eagles ended up selecting. So
it's not to shift positions, but it reminds me of wide receivers. I always get annoyed during the draft process, but there's always one guy who the draft nerds, including us, you know, fall in love with because they're so strong. I remember Jalen Reagor got a lot of that. It's like, oh, he's just so strong. And then Treylon Burks got a good amount.
Don't
of that.
Say that like, name on that this podcast.
Just, he's so strong. And no, it's just funny because I'm just like, does being strong as a wide receiver actually matter? Like, I don't know. I'm sure it has some benefits for sure, but like, there's sometimes I think we get carried away with some things like that.
People came after me on Twitter for mentioning that I had Kyle Hamilton number one on my big board. And I also added they're like, why don't you ever point out the ones you missed? And I was like, it's all in the publicly accessible stuff. I would recommend you start with my Treylon Burks wide receiver one propaganda, because that's pretty embarrassing in hindsight. But I'm still a believer. He's going to get a good connection with Will Levis. I can feel it. So, okay.
Yeah, that guy's the worst. That's all. That's my comment.
All right, let's keep it rolling here. We're going to go to my number three guy. He is also on Dive's list. I believe it was at number four. That is Leonard Taylor III out of the University of Miami. Taylor was a five-star recruit, played in 9 games as a freshman, and he recorded 21 tackles and 2 sacks. In 2022, he had 24 tackles, 3 sacks, and an interception. And then this season, he had 20 tackles, 21 pressures, 1 sack. He had an 82.1 pass rush grade per PFF. He's like the first normally sized defensive tackle we're going to talk about. 6'3", which is 41st percentile, 305 pounds, which is 78th percentile. So we're kind of like in the avoiding those outer quartiles for the first time in this podcast. Watching Taylor, I think he's really quick off the ball. He has rare bursts for his size, and I feel like he's an instinctual run defender. And he's got a really strong lower body, and he can anchor. He's got the leverage to shed blocks and make plays. And then as a pass rusher, he's just got a great motor. He gets, you know, he can get coverage sacks because he's just relentless at trying to rush the passer. Now, you got to point out that his 2022 tape was better than his 2023 tape. He added weight, and it helped him against the run. Like, that was one of the weaknesses of him in 2022 against the run. Added some weight. Behold, you're better against the run, but it costs you some athleticism. So that may be something that teams have to consider. Do we want him to drop weight and be a better pass rusher? Do we want him to play at this weight? And it's going to cost us pass rushing, but he can be a better run defender. And I think that depends on what scheme he gets drafted into. If you're going to draft him as a three tech and an even front, you probably want him to drop the weight. If you want him to be a four eye and an odd front, you probably want him to be a little better run defender so he can two gap a little bit. I do think he also gets his pad level too high at times. It makes it easier for offensive linemen to control him. And he's got poor gap discipline in the run games at times. It's like he wants to make a play so bad he'll end up out of his run fit and allow cutback lanes. I mentioned he was a five-star recruit. He just never really produced at a high level. Like, he's a five-star recruit who's a better pass rusher than run defender, but he's only got six sacks in his career. So I've got him as a second-round guy. I think there's a lot of potential there. He's just a guy that's never, like, completely put it all together. But you can see the universe where it comes together, and he's a really good player rushing from the interior. It's just not there yet. Dibes, you had him, I think he was number four for you. What do you see when you look at Leonard Taylor?
I like him a lot. You're talking about probably one of the bigger boomer bust prospects in this draft. Really high upside. I'm glad you brought up 2022, because his 2022 tape is so much better than his 2023. It's night and day. Great frame, great explosiveness, plays with a violent play style. I think wherever he goes, he needs to go to a good culture, a good locker room to kind of harness, a good defensive coordinator, defensive line coach to kind of harness like his upside. Because I mean, I see him as a first set, early second round pick. His upside is crazy. And if it all comes together, and we see that 2022 Leonard Taylor, watch out. That's definitely a guy to watch out. I think you hit on all the points.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In that case, let's go to our next guy. Mark, I believe this is your number four. Who do you have at number four?
Before I get to my number four real quick, I just want to say I don't have Leonard Taylor on my list, and I feel like yearly we have a couple guys. I don't get it. I don't really get it. I don't get the Leonard Taylor thing. Maybe I haven't watched enough of his 2022 tape. Maybe that is the problem. Maybe I've watched too much 2023. But to me, it seems like he's got no pass rush moves. I don't really think he just didn't really impress me. Not a lot of hurries, obviously very little sack production. And then he graded out horribly in terms of the run defense. Definitely the worst of any of the people we're talking about here. 64.4 PFF run defense grade, 6.6 run stop rate. I feel like he's just like a people are freaking out because he's a great athlete and he was like a high school prospect. So I feel like there is certain guys like this who get benefits of the doubt. And sometimes I think it pays out in betting on high school prospects who maybe didn't pan out in college. To me, it feels like he's listed above guys that I just think showed a lot more than him. And one of those guys who is not listed by either of you. So, you know, you take one guy off the list that both you guys have for me. I have to throw someone in there who neither of you guys have. It's Brandon Dorlus, defensive tackle from Oregon. And there's some kind of, I think, some disagreement on what he's going to be at the next level if he's a defensive tackle, if he's an edge. To me, I think he's a defensive tackle. He had his best year in college after the 2022 season. He bulked up, put on 20 pounds, and slid inside on a bit more of a full-time basis. I think that showed he's better used on the inside on the defensive line. In 2023, he had 4 sacks with 35 hurries. That followed up a season in 2022 with 2 sacks and 40 hurries. Compared to Newton, who jumps off the screen in terms of pass rushing, he had 28 hurries and 36 hurries. Like Brandon Dorlus, in terms of what he showed in terms of getting to the quarterback, did so at an extremely high rate, pretty consistent PFF grades throughout his 3 years in the mid to high 70s, 6 batted balls at the line of scrimmage in 2023. So he maybe not as thick as other defensive tackles at 285, 290, depending on what he's listed at, but he uses his height and his length in terms of getting to the quarterback and also in batting the ball down. He jumps off the screen to me as just a powerful and violent tackler. The guy just gets up in your face and puts you on the ground. He punished Michael Penix in that first Washington game in the regular season to the point where, you know, we just talked about two guys I have ranked over Dorlus. We have Byron Murphy and Devondre Sweat. They got the same matchup against Michael Penix come college football playoff time. Neither of those guys caused the havoc that Brandon Dorlus did the first time he met Washington. The second time, he didn't really make as much noise. But the first time he played Washington, he even, I think, kind of injured Penix and hurt his ribs. Not that that's like a positive or anything, but he was after Penix all day long, more than anybody else on that Oregon defense. And he was the guy who stood out to me more than anybody else on Oregon in that game. Funny thing about him, too, he was being projected as kind of a day two pick last year. As, you know, a fringe edge D tackle prospect, went inside, had his best year, had, you know, 40 hurries, and he's kind of the exact same spot he was last year, fringe day two guy. I'm surprised that his kind of draft stock wasn't improved at all.
All right. Dibes, have you watched him much? Where does he fall onto your big board?
Day two. I mean, all the points that Mark just said, you know, bit of a tweener, you know, he's a versatile defensive lineman. So he has to kind of go to like a multiple defense, a defense that, you know, wants to kind of move him around a little bit. You know, he's very slight, but you love the measurables in terms of the height and the length and things like that. But he wasn't on my list. He's not a guy that I've looked in considerably, but I would be shocked to see him fall past day two at this point. But these tweeners kind of give me pause. I don't know how he's going to hold up against the run at the NFL level, those kind of things.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit of the same conversation we had like last year with Tuli Tuipulotu of like, what position is he going to play? And Tuipulotu worked out pretty well for the Chargers. He had a pretty good rookie season. It's just all, I mean, with any player, it's all about the fit and where they land, especially for some of the guys like Dorlus who are kind of tweeners. you have to land in the right spot with the right coach who has the right vision for how they want to develop you, especially for someone ask you to gain weight to play inside, or we ask you to cut weight. We're trying to like mold your body the way we want it to fit this position. Like, and if that coach gets wrong, it sets your career back. And so it's really important for everybody, but especially for these tweeners, that they land in the right spot with the right coach with the right vision. And so that'll be a big thing for him, I think, as we move forward. So let's go to my number four guy. My number four guy is Rook Okorohwo. I said that wrong. Rook Okorohwo. There we go. I've practiced it. I get tongue-tied every time. He's out of Clemson. He was a three-star recruit out of high school who actually only played football starting his junior year. He moved from Lagos, Nigeria, which is actually where my eldest daughter is from, so a little connection there. Moved from Lagos, Nigeria to Michigan as a kid. He played basketball and was a wrestler before he picked up football as a junior in high school. And people that have followed my draft stuff know that I love it when linemen have a wrestling background, because it just shows up so much in their techniques and hand placement. But he only played 113 snaps across 2019 and 2020. Before he played 504 snaps in 2021. He had 36 tackles, 2.5 sacks. In 2022, he had, in 2023, he had 23 tackles and 4 sacks. So he's 6'4", which is 74th percentile, but he's only 290, which is 15th percentile. So he's kind of tall, and, I mean, it's not skinny, but it's not heavy for a defensive interior defensive lineman. As a fifth-year senior this year, he had 25 tackles, 5 sacks, and 26 pressures. His PFF grade was a 75.8. He had a 78.6 run-stop grade. I think he's got really impressive upper body strength. He can win with power as a bull rusher or a drop anchor against the run. That, again, that high school wrestling background shows up in his understanding of leverage, his techniques, like how he can position his body to wall off an offensive lineman and to generate leverage against him is one of his strengths. Now, he's also got really good quickness. He can fire off the ball and shoot gaps and attack space. And I think he's above average, like moving laterally as well. However, his weaknesses are about what you would expect with a guy that's still, I would say relatively new to football, 2 years of high school, 5 years of college. Didn't grow up playing football. He's got inconsistent hand strikes and placement. He doesn't really have a counter to his bull rush. There's been improvements in these areas over his college career, but he's still a raw player. He doesn't anticipate double teams coming well. And because of that, when they do come and he didn't expect it, he doesn't have the lower body strength to overcome those and not get moved. Like, don't take that to mean he's weak. He's just, it would take a lot of strength to get blindsided by a double team and not get moved. And he doesn't have that. And he doesn't see those double teams coming a lot of times. And so you can move him with double teams. I still think he's a day two guy. I think he fits best in an odd front. If you put him as like a 4-eye or a 5 technique, he could be a 3 technique in an even front too, but I think he definitely would need to add some weight there. I think he's an interesting guy. I'm really interested to see, you know, again, newer guy to the game with some good coaching. He's got some potential to develop, but he is very much a developmental piece on the interior of the defensive line. Do either of you guys have any thoughts about him that you want to throw out there before we move on to the next guys?
Just raw, you know, needs to increase his consistency. He was a guy that he was among my breakout players list. Last offseason, you know, with Brian Brzee going to the NFL last year, I thought he was going to have a big, big year. Didn't exactly translate, especially with that entire Clemson team. They were kind of all disappointing in some respects. So, but yeah, extremely raw, needs to further develop his technique. But the talent is all there. I see him more of a top of day three kind of guy. That's just where I'm at.
All right. Well, let's move on to your final guy here, Dibes. Talk to me about Chris Jenkins.
Yeah, we got to have Michigan on here. I mean, just a historic run defensive squad. And yeah, Chris Jenkins is an elite run defender. You know, son of a former NFL All-Pro, explosive athlete off the snap, both laterally and vertically, routinely commands double teams, really was the heart and soul of that Michigan defense. You saw him, you know, bust up, bust open in a lot of holes in big moments. Chris Jenkins is off the field, immeasurable. He's a leader. He's on the field, just a monster. He has really good functional strength. He's an effective B-gap defender from day one. He's one of your guys that, like, is your high floor kind of guys. I think he's going to be a rotational defensive lineman from the jump in the NFL. He was part of Bruce Feldman's physical freak list, but I never truly saw it on tape. He was more of a physical kind of interior defensive lineman than like an uber athlete. That was always kind of my take on this guy. Obviously, he needs to grow as a pass rusher. I think it's worth the investment. You know, like Moro Ojomo, like you know what you're going to get with Chris Jenkins from day one. He's a good run defender. He has a high floor there. He has some pass rush upside that is going to need a couple years at the NFL. Just not a complete player at this point. Does not have an elite pass rush moveset. And I probably would say he's probably a day two guy, but I felt remiss to not have Michigan on this defensive defensive tackle ranking because he was so important to just a historic defense. So that's a little bit on Chris Jenkins.
All right. And Mark, I believe he was on your list too, down at number five. He was number four for Dibes. Do you have anything you want to add in about him?
Yeah, I like that you kind of know exactly what you're getting when it comes to Chris Jenkins. He had pretty identical seasons the last 2 years, like almost identical PFF grades, same amount of sacks each year, the same amount of hurries each year, comparable analytic numbers. Feels like I think Dibes nailed it with the high floor comment. I think he probably has a pretty low ceiling. I don't think he's this guy that you're drafting with crazy high upside. I guess you could say, you know, with the bloodline, the lineage of his father being like an NFL All-Pro, maybe there is some untapped potential there at the next level. But I think that you're drafting a guy who you know is at worst a rotational defensive lineman. And at best, I think he's a really solid starter. But I think he's pretty locked in to at least be a solid NFL pro.
All right. So that caps our top five. We all have the same one and two: Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy the second. From three to five, I had Leonard Taylor the third, Rook I need to practice in front of the mirror again. Rook or Horohoro. I can't get that second H in there. And Tavondre Sweat. Mark had number three Tavondre Sweat, number four Brandon Dorlos, number five Chris Jenkins. And then Dibes had number three, Leonard Taylor the third, number four, Chris Jenkins, and number five, Tavondre Sweat. So that takes you through our top five interior defensive linemen. But before we get out of here, we're going to throw it around the horn, give you some honorable mention. Maybe it's a day three guy we like. Maybe it's a big run stuffing nose tackle. Maybe it's a guy maybe we want the Eagles to take, or a guy that just missed. Dibes, I'll throw it to you first. Who do you want to give an honorable mention and shout out to?
Yeah, if you're going to like follow the breadcrumbs and say, you know, the Eagles always try and draft Georgia players, Nazir Stackhouse is one. He's definitely a talented defensive tackle. McKinley Jackson is a name to know, but the guy I want to talk about is one of the Ohio State defensive players that actually decided not to return to the Buckeyes in 2024. And that is Michael Hall Jr. Kind of a lot similar to a lot of the guys we already just talked about. A bit of a tweener. He's a versatile defender. He has that tweener body type that he's got a lot of technique to learn at the next level. He's very raw. I think he could be a day two selection if he tests really well through the draft process. But if the pieces all come together, Michael Hall Jr. might be one to watch out for.
All right. Mark, anybody you want to give an honorable mention shout out to?
Yeah, Dwayne Carter is a guy who apparently killed the Senior Bowl today, the first day we're recording on Tuesday, which was the first day of the Senior Bowl. Dwayne Carter, 6'3", 305 from Duke. A little bit disappointing 2023 when it came to Carter. Only two sacks. His hurries were cut almost in half. I mean, his sacks fell 75%, but that's because his 2022 was incredible. He had an 86.3 PFF grade in 2022, eight sacks on 39 hurries, and then that fell to only two sacks with 18 hurries in 2023 with only a 70 PFF grade. So really kind of fell off the face of the earth there a little bit. And you look at the analytics, his pass rush win rate really bad, his run stop rate really bad, run defense grade not good, pass rush grade not good. Like, not a good 2023 for Dwayne Carter. But if you want to watch the 2022 tape and you want to bet on that, I think that's you could make worse bets because he was definitely dominant in 2022.
All right. I want to give an honorable shout out to a guy that doesn't have 2022 tape to watch. That's Mason Smith out of LSU. He's a really hard guy to evaluate because he's missed so much football. So he was a four-star recruit, played 350 snaps for LSU as a freshman in 2021. And he had a good season, 19 tackles, four sacks, 16 pressures. He was a freshman All-American. There was buzz around him being like a first-round talent going into 2022. In 2022, he only played eight snaps before he tore his ACL and a meniscus in the season opener, celebrating a tackle for loss with a teammate. He jumps, he hits the ground, tore the ACL. So you get to 2023, and he was suspended for the season opener for receiving an improper benefit from a pre-NIL autograph signing. The NCAA is going to NCAA. But after that suspension, he played 532 snaps, had 27 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 23 pressures. He batted down two passes. But he's just never – it was a bit of a disappointing year, if we're being honest. Like, this is a guy that people thought could be like a first round type guy, and now people are like late day two, maybe early day three. There's just a lot of unknowns. So he made Bruce Feldman's freak list. He clocked 19.5 miles per hour on GPS, and he can touch 11 feet in a standing vertical jump, according to Feldman. He's got good agility, a high motor. He's got a really good spin move, good length. He's 98th percentile height. He's got power, but he's got inconsistent pad level, and that's magnified because of his height. It reduces the effectiveness of his bull rush, causes him issues dealing with double teams. He tends to stop his feet when he makes contact, which lends itself to those double team issues as well. And so he basically needs to win on like his initial surge and overwhelm you, or he gets stonewalled. He just struggled to do that this year. So he's an interesting guy because there was a lot of hype around him. And sometimes there's a lot of hype around guys and it dies out and they just don't live up to it. Sometimes there's exceptionally bad circumstances. I'm surprised that Smith went declared for the draft after 2023. I'm surprised he didn't go back for another season at LSU. I think he could have probably benefited his draft stock by doing so, but so he's going to be out in the draft. I'll be really interested to see throughout the combine and interviews and all that stuff, which arrow, you know, if he gets the up arrow or the arrow down in his draft stock, because he's intriguing, but he's a tremendously difficult evaluation. So, all right. That is going to wrap it up for this episode of the BGN Draft Show, breaking down our top five interior defensive linemen. We won't have another positional ranking show for a couple of weeks. Next week, we're going to talk Senior Bowl wrap-up, winners and losers. The following week, we're going to do our first Eagles mock drafts, and we will be back on the position rankings the week after that. So we will get through every position leading you up to the draft. We'll do a combine show, a lot of stuff like that. So keep it tuned here to the BGN feed. Smash that subscribe button so you get all the shows on feed. You can check us out on Twitter. I'm at Shane Half NFL. Dive is at Mr. Crockpot, and Mark is at Mark Henry Jr. _. We will catch you guys next week for another episode of the BGN Draft Show. Go Birds!
First thing in the morning, as soon as you wake up, the to-do list starts.
Does the car need gas? Hopefully those leftovers are still good.
Why did I get CC'd on home mom?
No.
You can't escape the to-do list, but you can make the most of your me time with a relaxing shower using Method hair care products. Try Pure Peace Volumizing, Simply Nourish Moisturizing, or Daily Zen Shampoo and Conditioner for daily use. All formulated with long-lasting fragrances and are safe for color-treated hair. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.